Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Topics and opinions expressed in the following shows of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
This is Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. Do you want to live a more fulfilling life? Do you want to live your legacy and achieve your personal, professional, and financial goals? Well, coming up on Divya Parekh's Beyond Confidence, you will hear real stories of leaders, entrepreneurs, and achievers who have stepped into discomfort, shattered their status quo, and are living the life they want. You will learn how relationships are the key to achieving your aspirations and financial goals. Moving your career or business forward does not have to happen at the expense of your personal or family life, or vice versa. Learn more at www.divyaparekh.com, and you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. This is Beyond Confidence, and now here's your host, Divya Parekh.
Welcome, listeners. This is Divya Parekh, your host for today's Beyond Confidence radio show, and I'm excited to share with you that I have Leon Vanderpoel with us. Welcome, Leon.
Hi, Divya. Good to be here.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you. And I'm going to share Leon's background. Leon has spent the last 17 years immersed in the dynamics of personal and organizational change. He is the founder of Center for Transformational Coaching, a global coach training organization dedicated to helping coaching professionals fulfill their potential to facilitate transformation at the most essential levels of self and soul. At the center, Leon has developed a unique brand of transformational coaching called Deep Coaching that allows people to open to and realize the greatest possibilities that lie within themselves. In addition to leading the Center for Transformational Coaching, Leon is an internationally recognized coach trainer and mentor, serving as a faculty trainer for the International Coach Academy. Since 2010, he has trained and mentored hundreds of coaches from over 90 countries. He's Canadian by birth, Dutch by descent, and has called Taiwan home for the past 16 years. And I have known Leon for almost 6 years now. Would that be right, Leon?
Yeah, that's about right, Divya. That's right.
So, Leon, I'm sure our listeners are going to be curious as to how did your journey move from Canada to Taiwan?
Well, that's a long story that I'll make brief. It was literally just a series of events. It was never a plan, as though I said, someday I'm going to go live in Taiwan of all places. It was just one thing led to another. So from Canada, I received work in the States after university as a professional consultant with a large global consultancy firm. That ultimately led me to Asia to live in Bangkok for a while, and then eventually in Phuket, which is a small tropical island in the south of Thailand, where I began working in corporate training and facilitation, actually, outdoor team building, all of that. It was great fun. I was in my 20s at the time. And it was at that point that a gentleman from Taiwan knocked on the door of this facility I was working at and said, you know, I want one of these in Taiwan. Would you come and oversee the construction design of an outdoor corporate training center and the programs? And that's what eventually led me to Taiwan because, you know, at the time I was young, I was unmarried, and I thought, what the heck, let's go explore that part of the world. And funny enough, I ended up staying, and it's been home for 16 years now. I'm married to a Taiwanese woman. I've got two children here, so there's family and there's roots and, you know, well settled in.
Oh, that's such a lovely story. So starting from your construction journey, where did your career move to?
Well, that became the inroad. It was more that it wasn't so much the construction, literally, that I was doing the construction. I was overseeing the design and the development of a site and all of that. But what that led to was further work in the facilitation world, because that's actually where I got my feet planted in it. I began doing more corporate training, more facilitation work. From the outdoor adventure side of things, it led to working in organizations, the indoor side of the training facilitation. And I began to work in organizational development, working with managers and with leaders. And so that's how that happened. And then that led me to ultimately to coaching, because as I was doing training and facilitation, about 2005, I heard of this thing called coaching. And at the time in Asia, it really was nowhere. It was new for me, and I was interested in it. So I began to explore coaching. And what I found was that I thought at the time, this will make a nice complement to training and facilitation work. Those three can be wonderfully packaged together, complementary services. They do different things, but all work together to sort of the same end, which is, you know, developing people. And that's how I came to coaching. But the funny thing was, when I found coaching and began working in the field, I really fell in love with it as a field, as a profession, and as a way of working with people, because I found that I was able to get past the walls that people fairly naturally have when they're in organizational settings. So if you've ever been in like a meeting or a workshop with a group in an organization, you know, people retain the kind of personal wall. There's a limit to the degree which it will come down, and you can facilitate that, but there's always some of it. But what I found in coaching was it was a place that people would be willing to let go of all of that and really open to their most authentic, most vulnerable self, and to begin self-realization processes that were, for me, very exciting to be a part of. And that's why I ultimately said, you know, this is the field I want to really work in, is the coaching field. But at the same time, do I still do training and facilitation? Absolutely. I run the Center for Transformational Coaching. We offer programs. And so I still do all of this work. The difference is now I do it primarily in the coaching field.
So what you have said is so true, because being in the corporate and organizational world for practically a couple of decades myself, it is so fascinating that being vulnerable and sharing your emotions with people is still a taboo to this day.
Yes.
And what happens is people are opening up. There is a trend. There is a wave of change coming along where people are being more open, being authentic, and especially with millennials coming in, it's taking a completely different turn. So that said, how would you differentiate training and coaching?
For me, I do it very simply. I know there are many different images of these in the market, but for me, I just keep it simple in my mind by saying training for me is that I'm really imparting information and knowledge and wisdom to a group of people. In a sense, it's a teaching role. Yeah, there's a transmission of information that I have that they don't have, and I'm going to pass that on through the training and the teaching process, use some facilitation to do that. Coaching for me, as you know, being a coach, is about extracting that from within that human being. So what is the wisdom, the resourcefulness, the capacity that already exists within you? And let's find a way to really mine that first and foremost. Yeah. So that's how I look at it. One's kind of an output process, and one's more of a pulling out process.
Mm-hmm. Great description. And it's always, when we talk about coaching, the way I see it is, it's being in North Carolina, U.S., we have lots of really hot oak trees, beautiful trees. And one day I was just walking along with one of my neighbors, and she shared a saying with me, that from a small acorn, a mighty oak can grow. And that has always resonated with me too, in that sense that, you know, when you're with your client and if you can see that potential as a coach, and when you said that, it's about extracting, it's about allowing that potential to be unleashed and reach the power of a mighty oak. So I definitely resonate with that. And training being teaching is what you have said, is imparting the knowledge to it. In your experience, have you ever blended the training with coaching?
Yeah, all the time. You know, when I put together a workshop or a program, it all comes together. You know, there's going to be coaching aspects and blended with facilitation, blended with training. And a really good program moves quite seamlessly between them. You know, occasionally there's setting up a formal coaching session. But if not, it is a seamless movement. You know, what is needed in this moment? Is it imparting some knowledge? Is it facilitating a conversation? Is it asking some questions to see what we can, pull out from the group? So they all blend together continuously.
Absolutely. And you're so right on the mark about that, because if you create even icebreakers or exercises throughout the workshops, as what you're saying, I've employed those tools and strategies as well. And when you include those questions, even in the training, that does get people thinking. And it's all about thinking and reflection, because when you have a new perspective, it just opens up new doors. It's almost like wearing a pair of glasses after your power has gone up and seeing the world from a pair of new eyes.
Yes. Yeah, I would completely agree.
So that said, we have talked about coaching, that, you know, coaching is working with your client, working with an individual, or it can be a group, and extracting out the potential in that. And currently, where we are living is, we do see that this is a time of awakening, and people have the desire to grow as we've never seen before. And people are ready to become more self-aware, and they're willing to express themselves in meaningful and creative ways. Yeah. So when somebody is ready to do that, what would be the first step for them?
My sense of it is that it's not so easy to say there's a first step that would apply to all people. When I work with people who are going through this period of awakening, very often they are themselves following a sense of what it is that they need to be looking into, that it's already there. In other words, they've already taken that first step in their very own way. So what they're learning to do is listen to, you might say, a small, quiet voice that's becoming maybe a bit of a louder voice within their being. And they're hearing that there is something for them to know or understand or look at within themselves or about the world around them. And they're moving to understand that. And so that's I guess you could say, maybe not a step, but something that everyone can begin to cultivate, is that inner ear. That often awakening is a process which is accompanied by a sense of maybe a bit of confusion or uncertainty about really what's going on. Like suddenly something feels off. In other words, life has been moving along. It's been very good. And one day, sometimes it happens very quickly, sometimes it happens more gradually, but in a sense, one day people kind of open their eyes and look around and something is not quite right in the way that they are seeing the world or seeing themselves. And that's this moment of awakening. For some people, it's a more of a spiritual call, like they sense that there is something greater to be understood. For some people, they wake up with the question on their mind, like, what the heck am I doing with my life? Or something of this nature. And it's in those moments that simultaneously are they seeing or sensing a greater possibility as they are sensing, but something is off, it's misaligned. But that misalignment or that feeling that things are not right can lead people to kind of step away from what's happening as though, well, this is uncomfortable. And if it's uncomfortable, it's probably not right, or there's something wrong with me or something. Rather than seeing it as truly functional and, you know, healthy that this is happening, So leaning into it and listening to that inner voice would be a fantastic way to begin to move within this kind of awakened self that they're experiencing.
That is so right, Leon. And one of the things that happens is, if we compare chemical reactions, is that there is a phase of lag in the beginning. And when we are talking about that phase, there is discomfort. And when there is discomfort, that's when the growth happens. And it's, there is the some voice, as you mentioned, that's poking people. And unfortunately, what happens is we are creatures of comfort and creatures of habits. We do see the discomfort, we feel the emotion, and we tend to explain it away logically. We justify our decisions and our choices. And by doing that, it's so easy to slip back into the comfort zone, which, of course, the brain has been evolved to suffice and not optimize. So in that event, as you said, it is not the step. It is something that's a long process. And it's, again, there is no first step, second step, as you clearly mentioned. And the key is that in this process, you know, sometimes we move 5 steps forward and we can come back 6 steps. And this is a journey where you're learning and growing and evolving. So when this happens and when you're back in your comfort zone, what's a good way of getting out of there and exploring this self-exploration journey?
Yeah. You know, just as you were speaking about how we're in a comfort zone and we're often very used to things happening in a step-by-step process, or if something's perceived as problematic, we will put together kind of a plan or a way of acting that is quite linear or sequential in nature. So I just want to say that one of the interesting facets of an awakened state is that we have to let go of the idea that things happen in a sequential manner. The easiest thing to do, because the intellect wants to grasp this problem and kind of solve it, is to say, okay, so what's the first thing I need to do? What's the second thing I need to do to either move through this discomfort or to deal with what's happening, whatever it might be? But actually, in this time of awakening, and I will also add transformation, we have to let go of that so we can begin to live in a non-linear way. I often, when I'm coaching people who are about to work with me, they ask, you know, what are the steps of your program? What are the pieces that we're going to be moving through? And I usually take out a piece of white paper and I say, well, in this case, it's not a linear line and I can draw an A to B. Here's A, here's B. Go from A to B in a kind of linear way. Maybe a few, as you said, forwards and backs. But this idea of linearity, you know, that's the old way of thinking about it. I said the new way is more like a child with a crayon on a white piece of paper. They're just going to scribble a line. And that line is going to go in all kinds of different directions. And you don't really know where it's going to go at any one point. So it's just really difficult for people who are used to living, or at least solving the what they call their life issues, in a very pragmatic or linear fashion, to let go of that intellectual need to fix or solve or resolve, and to really lean into and be with whatever is happening more in the moment and noticing what's being called for in that very moment. And that's a very different way of living for people. And yet that's what a big piece of this transformational awakening journey is asking of us, is to simply really become intensely present to what is unfolding in any moment, and looking within and without to say, okay, what is needed in this moment? What is being asked of me? What am I being called to do? Where does my energy want to go? And then move in that direction, rather than saying, oh, I can see the steps that need to happen, you know, kind of in advance.
Mm-hmm. Leon, do you have a story of one of your clients who just heard this voice of awakening? And how did they move from that place of just piece of awareness towards the next step in the process? I know it's not the step, but it's coming from scientific and corporate background, you do end up using that. Or to the next phase, whatever we want to call it. So the next phase of the journey, where they were ready to lean into discomfort?
Yeah, that's a good question. Just let me think, because there's many clients that have come to me over the years. So let me think of one that is a good example of this process. Okay, so I'll come up with a client. We'll call him Bob. Bob the client. Great name. Bob the client. So Bob the client is atypical of many people who come to me for this work. And that could be as a coaching client or even for the people that go through my programs. Because the people that are attracted to the programs, like the Deep Coaching program, are often themselves in the midst of this awakening transformational journey as well. But they come in, and what happens is that they become fixated on the challenges in their life at a superficial level. So they might come in and say, okay, something's happening inside of me, but I'm at work, I'm having this problem with my boss. So that's Bob says to me, I'm having a conflict with my boss. My boss is very condescending to me. And that I find that when he's condescending to me, I withdraw and I become uneasy in his presence. I don't communicate my questions. I don't really say much in the conversations. So what I want from you, Leon, and from this session is I want to find ways to be able to stand up to my boss. Okay. So you see what's happening is at the surface level, there's a communication issue, and the first move is to say, okay, I don't want this anymore. This is not a good thing. It's not good for me. And so I want to fix this because it's a problem. It's a problem that my boss is condescending to me, and it's a problem that I withdraw or pull away. So if I'm coaching at that level, I can easily sit down with him and say, okay, let's find some creative ways, effective ways for you in the moment that you're experiencing this with your boss to stand up to him or to at least not feel that you have to withdraw in the face of his condescension, that you can say, sort of say, stay strong. Okay, so we can have the conversation at that level. But the reality is, if you're really listening to your clients and you understand what some of the symptoms and signals of this awakening transformational journey look like, you'll be able to see that what's really going on is much deeper than simply about this one issue with his boss. That there is something going on inside that's saying, this person that I have known myself to be, who has served me until this date, is at this point no longer working for me. And there is something emerging in me, a sense of self that is far greater. So Bob is talking to this in different ways as we converse. And if you ask the right questions and if you listen in the right way, you'll begin to sense that, yeah, there's something much deeper at play in Bob. He's not just here to find a solution for this. So the first thing we want to start doing is moving him away from just talking about that singular instance and from needing to solve this problem, and dive down into the level of being, because it's the level of being that the transformation is occurring at. There's an arising sense of new self. You might call it a new self-consciousness that's beginning to emerge from this awakened, transformed state that wants to become more solid, that they want to ground in and really live into this world. But often, because they're so fixated on, I got to solve this problem, they're not aware of that deeper impulse to become this emergent self. They're not aware of it. It gets clouded over, in part because it's not something that happens often in people's life. If you have no experience with it and suddenly it happens, and people are like, what is this? What is this? You know, it just feels weird. What is this? So my work is to help people understand the signals, the symptoms of this state of being that's arising, this contention inherent within the transformation, awakened state, and to start to really look at it, as we did with Bob, and say, okay, so what is wanting to happen here at this deeper level of self that what's happening on the surface is merely a symptom of, or a way for us to work with it at a superficial level, but we really want to get down in there. Right?
That's a great story. So continuing with the story of the Bob, when something like this happens, what do they experience and where do they go from there?
When you say what do they experience, in what way are you referring?
So what I'm saying is that they are ready to awaken, they're ready to explore, yet they don't know. And they are experiencing the discomfort. How is it that they go into the next phase of deepening that awareness?
Yeah.
From it's almost like scuba diving, right? That first you take a boogie board and you start surfing. And as you start surfing, you really enjoy the ocean. And yet you don't see the whole depth of ocean there is that just nurtures the whole life and the whole ecosystem. And then you say, okay, let me try scuba diving. And from scuba diving, there may be some people who may be happy with it and they don't go deep within because of the fears. And there are some people who will do the exploration, and because, as we all know, scuba diving is not easy. Similarly, self-exploration is definitely not easy because you have to face yourself in that landscape of silence. When you are with yourself, it's having that comfort, having that trust within yourself to move forward. So that's the experience I'm asking about, that how do they move through that experience of discomfort into next phase?
Yes.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah, there's a few answers to that. The first thing I'd say is that it's helpful for people to understand this journey of transformation. And it's why this conversation that you and I are having is so helpful for people. Because one of the challenges is when people do not know what they're getting into, they tend to resist it. So when something is an unknown, human beings' often default tendency is to get a little bit fearful about it, and then they resist what's happening, maybe even walk away from what's beginning in them because it can appear to be quite frightening or a big unknown is there. So one of the things that I do in all of my work is I help the people I work with see the greater picture of transformation. See sort of the beginning stages of this longing for something else and a sense of dissatisfaction with the current, you might say, ego-based consciousness that's there. To see the middle ground where we could begin to see the ties that we have to our consciousness, our ego-based consciousness, and recognizing that certain releasing or healing needs to happen. We can also help them see what it looks like closer to the end, how we, you might say, let the old energies, the old self energies pass away or die, where we can then throw off this cocoon and become the new self, and then what it looks like to live into the new self. So being aware of the journey and some of the potentials and pitfalls on that journey is very helpful, because when people can see it on an intellectual level, that does do a lot to quell the discomfiture of it all. So we do want to help inform people as much as we can to say, this is functional. As dysfunctional as it feels, it's functional, and you can see the arc in a very general way of what this is going to look like for you. So that's the first piece to it. The second piece I would add is that we have to help people become very, you might say, accepting of the discomfort. So reducing that resistance is key. You mentioned the word trust, and this is a massive component of it. Like, how do we enable people to trust what they do not know, to trust what feels uncomfortable? And so we want to help them just put their guard down and to lean into what is arising within them. And that can mean any negative emotions or negative behaviors, any of the limiting thoughts. that are beginning to arise, because this is a natural, organic process, is that the stuff that needs to fall away, the stuff that needs to be looked at or healed or released, that is going to be coming up very naturally in a transformational process. We don't have to go looking for it. It's going to be presenting itself to us. And we want people to be able to just lean into that work and to do it with greater ease and greater joy. Because again, if they're not aware of the value of this in terms of process, they will resist it or they will walk away from it. So those are the two pieces I'd add. One is the knowledge piece, like understanding on an intellectual level what this journey looks like. And the second piece of it is, how do we enable people to allow this to happen for themselves with the least amount of resistance? Because that literally will just add a kind of a block to the transformation process itself.
That makes perfect sense, Leon, that humans are creatures. If they understand things, how it's going to unfold, it makes it easier to bear. So it's similar to knowing if a hurricane is coming along. So it doesn't mean that it becomes any less frightening. Mm. Yet it's about being equipped with tools and strategies. So let's say if you even take an example of hurricane. So if somebody knows that hurricane is going to come my way, they have an option. They have the choice to make, where what happens is either they can leave, or some people choose to stay and face the hurricane. But at the same token, they have prepared themselves with food, water, and if you are at the shore, boarded their house, and whatever can be done. And I think so that's what happens is, when I've worked with a few of my clients, so sharing one of the stories of my client was, he was going through a similar transformation like Bob. However, going towards the deeper side was not an option for him. At that time, he was not ready. So what we did was, we took the science route. And based on the science, we explained to him that how does the brain work? How does condition to pull the old memories back and experiences back from the hippocampus? And when it brings the experiences back of the old days of the childhood to the forefront and center, and how it is analyzing the present situation and making an effort to be in comfort zone. And when we have presented, as you said, about the knowledge, when you take that pressure off people, that this is how your brain's working. However, that said, if we can equip you with tools and strategies, for example, mindfulness meditation, that when you are being in the present without any judgment, you're just observing. So there is something, a process which is like an A7 pyramid that I use in my coaching process, where one of the first steps is just the awareness, bringing the mindfulness to the present moment. And as you have said, it's about accepting it. It's about bringing the awareness and letting go of it. And when that happens, people have a certain modicum of control in that land of unknown. And they know, okay, if these feelings and fears and emotions are going to rise, I am able to handle those emotions. And that helps them move from the journey of unknown with fear to journey of unknown with fear plus knowledge and tools. So what kind of techniques do you share with your clients that helps them travel this land of unknown?
Well, that's interesting, because one of the things that I tend to shy away from is the use of a lot of techniques and tools. Now, that's just a personal preference of mine. Not that there's any right or wrong way with it. I tend to use less techniques and tools and work more with practices. Now, you could call the practices a technique, I suppose, but I look at them more just as practices and finding certain amount of discipline around those practices. Now, in coaching, as you know, we want to help our clients define in their own practices ideally. So that's always the first step, is just to ask, you know, what is it that you are drawn to do? What are you called to look at or put in place? And very often, they're, you know, being the creative beings they are, they come up with something. For example, Bob said to me, well, what I'm going to do to help me grow my confidence is I've got this NLP technique I learned some years ago. I'm going to pull it out. So every 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to have my phone signal to me that I need to stand up and I need to do this NLP technique to help me bring in confidence and energy into myself. And so he did that. He got an app on his phone that also supports it. So he was very creative in his own way to come up with a strategy for himself to enable the kind of change within that he wanted to. So that's always the first way that I tend to work. But one of the things that I work with more is helping people understand that the transformational journey is deeply, it's augmented when people learn how to hold a space for themselves. So holding space for themselves to go through this journey, because there are two dynamics to the journey. The one dynamic is a healing dynamic. So as you said, that when the emotions come up or the limiting thoughts come up or all of this past stuff that needs to be processed, released, healed, and when that comes up, they're able to be with it. And depending on what is coming up, that'll affect the kind of healing process that they will create or we will co-create together. So rather than me saying it needs to be this way, we'll co-create something together that really works for them. But that's the dynamic, and people often overlook that in awakening. They forget that there's a big healing piece that needs to happen as we peel away the layers of this old self concept that no longer serves us. And it's hard work at times because this stuff just keeps coming back. You said it earlier, 5 steps forward, 3 steps back. And when that comes back, they're like, oh my goodness, I thought I was past this. Why is this coming up again? So getting them to recognize that that's a normal part, that we move forward and we fall back, we move forward and we fall back. The cyclical nature of transformation has to be understood, but we need to be healing, sort of constantly healing ourselves. The other aspect is there needs to be an energizing of the emerging self. So we have to give strength to the emergent self. If people get too caught up in the healing, like I'm just constantly healing, 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 it can be exhausting work. The other aspect of transformation is not just that which wants to fall away, but that which wants to emerge. So how do we energize the emergent self, this way of being or sense of self that is becoming recognized in the awakened mind, that there is a desire to know more of? It is, you know, it is at the beginning, it is the shadow of the true self, and there's a desire to want to know more of this true self and nature, and it's the journey to discover that, so we can energize people's connection with that. So that's a big piece of what my work is to do with people, both training coaches and working with clients, is to give them an experience of a more complete self. So it's not just an intellectual-based conversation about knowing the true self. It is, what is it like to create a space and hold a space in which a human being can connect with more and more and more of their true self and nature? Because what happens is when we energize that, it's like, you know, you talked about the brain, it's like we're building these circuits or a circuitry of consciousness that is reflective of this emergent higher self. And that takes time not only to construct, but to then solidify so that it becomes one's way of being. So we're sustaining this way of being. So these new circuitries of consciousness need to be connected with and experienced within the awakened mind with regularity and consistency. And there are all kinds of ways that people can do this for themselves. Some people, you know, may choose meditation. Some people may choose to connect with nature. Some people may choose that to find it in certain books or texts or in a travel experience. It doesn't matter really where people choose to find it. It's they need to create a space in which this can happen. So a coaching space needs to reflect that. A truly transformational coaching space needs to reflect a transformational experience in the human mind. So we're healing and we're energizing the emergent self. So those two dynamics, that's more with how I work. So like helping people to really experience healing and finding ways to do that for themselves, and to experience the emergent self and finding ways to do that for themselves. So I'll stop there because that's a bit of information. But that's how I work.
Oh, that is absolutely fantastic. And you are absolutely right in that, Leon, that, you know, people need to come up with ways of their own, because when they create their own ways, so that's what a coach does. We can give them ideas, we can share with them teasers that sparks their creativity. Ultimately, it has to be coming from their own soul, coming from their own inner wisdom. And when it comes from there, and the satisfaction and fulfillment that they get is nothing short of amazing. And when you were talking about healing, that if you're just healing, it can be very exhausting. And I have personally gone through that phase, because last year when I broke my shoulder in multiple places, so I was at this place where the questions kept on coming. Why did it happen? Where I had several things lined up, several great speaking engagements lined up, and everything was going fantastic. And then when the question comes up, you experience that discomfort. It's about allowing yourself in that space, accepting that, yes, there is a space when you can go into the darkness, into that dark abyss, and it's very hard to come out of it. And yet at the same time, that, yes, in the depths of pain and misery, so to speak, like when, especially if it's your right arm and you have to depend on everybody else for everything, like, you know, you're drooling like a child and can't open the door. It's just like feeling how old people feel. But when you go through that process and then you realize that just being allowing is not enough, it's something to go deep down and pull that anchor, something that will help you float back to the top. And when you see that first ray of sunshine and the freedom that encompasses you, that is phenomenal. And also, as you're talking about the freedom and that experience of deep reaching, it's something, again, you know, different people do it in different ways. I have experienced in meditation and in nature the freedom and the connection with the universal consciousness is you feel those chains breaking away, and in that moment there is nothing else to be desired. You're just there. You're one with everyone. You're one with the planet. You're one with the world. And you're at peace. But again, as you have mentioned, you know, there's a toggle back and forth. You always come back in the world. And then it's about staying in the world and bringing back that experience, that strength back from within as you energize a new self.
Yeah.
So what happens when you're back into the routine world and things are happening? How can you leverage that strength, pull that back, and keep it with you for the whole day?
Yeah, that's where people really need to begin designing practices that facilitate that goal. And along with the practices that they design for themselves, has to be the discipline piece that goes along with it, because it's very easy to become forgetful as the day goes along and to fall back into old patterns of perceiving or feeling or communicating or whatever it is. And so that's the real challenge for people as they move through the transformational process, is to define what these are and really have the kind of will, the discipline, the dedication to the process. And I find that the people I work with that do that, they tend to move through this period of intense transformation. It's not that it's easy, but it's that they seem to gain so much from it because they're so committed to it. And you can see them coming alive as they explore this realm of being within themselves and they do it consistently, and they begin to see the effects in all the different arenas in their life. They see how other people relate to them differently, how they want to communicate differently, how they feel differently. You know, the lights really are starting to come on as this emergent self takes place. You know, I have one client, Brian. I've been working with him for 6 years. You know, 6 years we've been meeting every other week, coaching. He's very, very dedicated to it. And to say that a transformational journey is a short thing, you know, 1 or 2 years, no, these periods of awakening and transformation can go on for many, 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 many years, 10, 15, 20, 20 years for some people. But I've noticed that with him, because he's so dedicated and he comes, you know, every 2 weeks to the session and he's doing the work in between, and we're constantly recreating and redefining what's needed for him, and it's amazing to watch this man come to life and what has happened for him. He's had to overcome some real internal barriers of self, you know, based on his early childhood and his upbringing and the way that his life unfolded early on. You know, he's had to overcome some really, really difficult things, but because of that level, he's on the path. Then there are those that dabble, and a lot of people dabble. Oh my. So there's a sense of, okay, so there's this new world out there that I'm seeing. It's kind of spiritual. It's kind of cool. But if I say yes to that world, and I mean really commit to it and go into it, will I be okay? Will I be safe? What will people think of me? Who will I be if I say yes to that? Like, my life is really pretty good right now. What's the point of going through this big unknown kind of transformational process when it may mean that all of this that I've got now that's good may be disrupted or lost, and people get very fearful around that. And so what happens is they try to straddle both worlds. They're kind of like, well, I'm going to try to maintain this world, what I call the old world, because, you know, I've got my house and my car, my income, my family. It's all very, very good, and I don't want to upset any of that. And I've also got my ego-based self highly invested in a lot of this stuff, and I don't necessarily want to lose that, because if I lose that, then who am I? So I'll keep that. But, you know, I'll read some spiritual books, and maybe I'll go to church, I'll go to the temple, and I'll kind of dabble in it a little bit. Right? So a lot of folks are like that. A lot of folks are like that. They live between the two worlds without really committing to either one fully. And this is a challenge. This is a real challenge for people, because they're never really able to experience the fullness of self that is their potential. And yet there's always a sense of, but that's there for me. It's like they can see the shimmering star off in the distance, but they're really holding back from going for it because, you know, that's a heck of a journey. And I don't know what it all entails, and I don't know what'll happen. So maybe not. Yeah. So I say for people, it's really about getting clear on your commitment to this. Like, what would it look like to say yes with the fullness of your being to this journey? Because when you do that, that yes, that commitment, that dedication, that motivates you out of all of those, you know, kind of dark healing process pieces that you might need to go through. You know, some people experience this dark night of the soul. It motivates you out of that. It energizes you out of that. It connects you to something much greater that is, you know, always there for you and is constant and real and true. And you're saying yes to that. So it's almost like you're saying yes to life. And that commitment to life helps you come to life through the darkest times of the transformational journey, because in no way is this easy. In no way is this easy. It takes work. It takes perseverance. It takes dedication. To shift human consciousness is not something we can take lightly. You know, we are really, truly kind of locked into the level of consciousness at which we exist. To shift that to a whole new plane of existence is by no means straightforward and easy. And so that's why I say it's all about, you know, are you willing to commit to this journey? Are you willing to put your life, and I say your life, on the line for this? Eckhart Tolle said, the secret to life is to die before you die and know there is no death. So in a way, there is a death process that we will face. It's this stripping away of all that is not who we are. To really face that, you know, are you willing to say yes to that?
Oh, that is so true. Right? Yeah. So listeners, you know, we are going to leave you with this question. Are you willing to to make that commitment? Are you willing to experience life itself? Are you willing to go through the process where you're one with yourself and let that commitment and discipline step in? And when you do, there is a rainbow around. So, Leon, let's share, how can people reach you?
Oh, fantastic. Yes, if people would like to contact me, the easiest way is to send me an email. Now, the website for the Center for Transformational Coaching is www.centerfortransformationalcoaching.com. So one word, and center is E-R, so centerfortransformationalcoaching.com. So an email can be sent through the website, or people can send me at leon@centerfortransformationalcoaching.com. Both ways are good.
Leon, thank you so much for joining us. I've had such a pleasure and joy of speaking to you, and I'm sure our listeners have thoroughly enjoyed themselves, and we have left them with questions. Thank you again, listeners, for joining us, and I'd like to thank Rebel for being our show engineer and doing such a great job.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for being part of Beyond Confidence with your host, Divya Parekh. We hope you have learned more about how to start living the life you want. Each week on Beyond Confidence, you hear stories of real people who have experienced growth by overcoming their fears and building meaningful relationships. During Beyond Confidence, Divya Parekh shares what happened to her when she stepped out of her comfort zone to work directly with people across the globe. She not only coaches people how to form heart connections, but also transform relationships to mutually beneficial partnerships as they strive to live the life they want. If you are ready to live the life you want and leverage your strengths, learn more at www.divyaparekh.com. And you can connect with Divya at contact@divyaparekh.com. We look forward to you joining us next week, Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.